Right now, there are roughly 3,000 massive cargo ships just sitting completely paralyzed in the Persian Gulf.
Yeah, they aren't moving at all.
Right. They aren't unloading. They are just floating there, basically waiting for this huge geopolitical knot to untangle.
Exactly.
So today's deep dive is really about why the systems that govern those ships and, the food on our tables, the power in our homes, the financial networks under our feet, why they are suddenly seizing up.
And more importantly, why the sources we are looking at today insist that this is not a collapse.
Right, which is wild. They call it a birth canal.
Yeah.
So, welcome, subscribers. I am Elena, and joining me to unpack all of this is our resident expert, Adrian. We really hope you, our subscribers, are enjoying the new audio reviews of the weekly Sleeping Giant.
We definitely do.
Yeah, these audio reviews are really designed to give you a glimpse into the articles of the week and just provide a comprehensive overview of the signals, patterns, and threads that are currently, weaving through our world.
And the specific blueprint we are looking at today is the weekly report. It's called Awakening the Sleeping Giant for the week of April 20th. And wow, it is a massive amount of
It
data.
is so dense.
Yeah.
And before we dive into this huge stack of independent reports and intelligence briefs and curated articles, we need to set a very clear framework for you, the listener.
Absolutely essential.
Right. We are strictly using the provided documents today. We are not using mainstream news as our background or support. And we have to explicitly state right up front, these sources contain highly charged political and geopolitical claims.
Very charged. I mean, they challenge a lot of conventional narratives.
Right. So we want to be crystal clear that neither of us are taking sides or endorsing these viewpoints.
No.
Our mission is simply to act as your guides, impartially conveying the fascinating data and these complex ideas exactly as the original source material presents them.
And looking at that territory, I mean, it would be very easy to read these reports and just feel completely overwhelmed.
Oh, for sure.
But the sources actually frame this disruptive information through a specific philosophical lens, which is super interesting.
Yeah.
They use the term ekpyrosis, which in ancient philosophy refers to a purificatory transition between world cycles.
That is such a fascinating framework. I love that. Instead of just looking at this as random chaos, it frames it as something with a purpose, like
Exactly.
a very painful transition, maybe, but a transition nonetheless.
Precisely. It suggests that what we are witnessing is the old, rigid global systems basically giving way to new frameworks.
Okay.
It's a compression phase. Things aren't breaking by accident. The sources state they're being systematically dismantled or pressured to make way for a new evolutionary phase.
Well, let's follow that pressure because the most immediate physical manifestation of this transition is the literal tightening of global energy flow.
Yeah, the physical choke points.
Right. To understand the shifting global structure, the reports say we have to look at those physical choke points of the world. And right now, diplomatic talks in Islamabad have completely collapsed.
Which is really the domino that sets the rest of this in motion.
Wow.
Because of that collapse, the U.S.-Iran conflict has transitioned into what the intelligence briefings call managed instability.
Managed instability. And that looks an awful lot like a frozen system
Yeah, it does.
because the Strait of Hormuz is functionally closed to standard traffic. That is why those 3,000 ships are trapped in the Persian Gulf.
Exactly.
The US Navy has enforced a strict blockade of Iranian ports, and things have actually escalated physically. The sources report the US recently blew a massive hole in an Iranian cargo ship called the Tuska. But the detail that really caught my eye was about a Chinese tanker, the Rich Starry.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it openly ran that US blockade, and rather than firing on it, the intelligence reports claim the US let it through as a deliberate trap. So walk me through that. Why let them run the blockade?
Okay, so the reports describe it as a tag and trace operation.
Tag and trace.
Yeah, think of a physical blockade like a dam. It stops the water, but it doesn't tell you where the underground springs are.
Oh, I see.
Right. By letting the Rich Starry through, the U.S. Navy wasn't failing to enforce the blockade. They were casting a net.
Okay.
The sources suggest they wanted to map the shadow financial networks. Like, who insures a ship that runs a U.S. blockade?
Wow.
Which receiving banks process the payment for the oil? Which port authorities turn a blind eye?
Oh, so they are exposing the financial scaffolding behind the Defiance.
Exactly. It is intelligence gathering masquerading as a physical confrontation.
That is wild.
But the consequence is that the physical flow of oil is severely restricted.
Right.
And to compound that, Houthi forces have announced a blockade of the Bab al-Mandab Strait at the other end of the Arabian Peninsula.
So you now have a dual choke point crisis.
Right.
And the impact of that is staggering. I mean, the reports state global oil prices are becoming completely unmoored from reality.
Totally unmoored.
Yeah. The highest recorded price for a barrel of physical oil delivered to Sri Lanka just hit $286.
Unbelievable.
And Europe is being warned of severe jet fuel shortages within 6 weeks. Plus, Australia reportedly has only 38 days of petrol left before they have to start rationing.
Which is a terrifyingly short runway for a modern industrialized nation.
It really is. And it brings up an analogy I want to run by you because I think it helps visualize the severity of this.
Okay, go for it.
People often picture the global energy supply chain like a giant storage tank. Like a massive reservoir we can just dip a cup into whenever we need gas.
Right, like it's just sitting there waiting for us.
Exactly. But the sources paint a picture that it's actually a just-in-time conveyor belt. So if that conveyor belt unplugs at the Strait of Hormuz, how fast does the factory floor actually shut down?
It shuts down almost immediately.
Wow.
Yeah, the conveyor belt analogy is perfect. What you're describing ties into a concept called days of cover.
Okay.
This is the metric for how many days a country can survive on its accessible onshore reserves if all imports suddenly stop. When a country like Australia is down to 38 days, they are running incredibly lean.
Right.
But here is the critical mechanism. The market does not wait for day 39 to panic.
They panic on day two.
Exactly. The sources point out that energy stability has shifted from a natural continuous flow to a state of controlled pressure.
Controlled pressure.
Yeah. The markets are no longer waiting for diplomats to shake hands in Islamabad. They are aggressively pricing in long-term systemic uncertainty.
Wow.
The moment that conveyor belt stops, the system doesn't gracefully wind down. It seizes up, and hoarding begins instantly, which artificially drains the days of cover even faster.
And that seizure doesn't just affect cars or airplanes, which is what brings us to the second major pattern the reports highlight, and that's the agricultural cascade.
Right.
Energy isn't just about moving vehicles. Natural gas and those Middle East shipping lanes are the literal baseline of global food production.
Because energy is required to make fertilizer.
Right. The reports state that one-third of all internationally traded fertilizers pass directly through the Strait of Hormuz.
A third. That's massive.
It is. And the squeeze is already here. A staggering 70% of U.S. farmers are reporting they will not be able to purchase all the fertilizer they need for the 2026 planting season.
Wow.
Yeah. Urea prices alone have jumped 47%.
That is a massive spike for an input that dictates global crop yields.
It is. And the warnings in the reports are getting incredibly dire. Celebrity chef Jose Andres is quoted warning of a massive famine by the fall of 2026 and 2027 directly due to this silent collapse of the global fertilizer trade.
That's chilling.
And the UK is bracing for what officials are calling a summer of shortages. They specifically point out disruptions to chicken and pork availability.
Right.
And a UN Development Program report projects that 32 million people across 162 countries could be plunged into poverty because of these interconnected shocks.
You know, when you realize that chicken in the UK grocery store relies entirely on a cargo ship clearing the Strait of Hormuz months prior, it fundamentally changes how you view the global economy.
It completely shatters the illusion of local independence.
It does.
But here's where I want to push back, or at least play devil's advocate based on what we usually hear.
Okay.
In a standard capitalist system, if prices go up, production goes up. If fertilizer is suddenly incredibly expensive and farmers are willing to pay a premium, someone will just build another factory, right?
You would think so.
Right. The market will fix it.
Yeah.
But the sources argue fiercely against this. Why is the standard price discovery model completely broken here?
This is a crucial point in the reports. It comes down to a concept called biophysical economics.
Biophysical economics.
Yeah. Mainstream economics tends to treat energy as just another interchangeable line item, like labor or marketing. If labor is too expensive, you automate.
Right.
If natural gas is too expensive, you supposedly just pivot. But the sources emphasize that energy isn't interchangeable. It is the absolute prerequisite for all physical production.
Meaning you can't build the solution without the energy you are already missing.
Precisely. You cannot simply will a natural gasification plant or a complex nitrogen fertilizer factory into existence just because prices are sky high.
Wow.
It takes years, massive amounts of petrochemicals, and immense baseload energy just to build the infrastructure. You can't 3D print a sulfur recovery unit.
Right.
When the physical flow of the raw material stops at a choke point, the financial incentives become totally irrelevant. Money is just a claim on energy. If the energy isn't there, the money is useless.
Wow. Okay, so if the fiscal choke points are tightening and the agricultural baseline is fracturing because we can't physically produce the inputs, where does that pressure go?
That is the big question.
The sources suggest it goes straight into global military posture, which is our third signal.
It has to go somewhere. When resources tighten, nations expand their military posture under the surface to manage the immense pressure.
Let's look at how the reports track that expansion. In the Middle East, a fragile 10-day Israel-Lebanon ceasefire is currently holding. But simultaneously, the U.S. has surged over 50,000 troops to the region.
Yeah.
Domestically, the sources claim that eligible young men are now being automatically registered for the U.S. military draft this year.
Which is huge.
Huge. And the Pentagon is reportedly ramping up plans for operations in Cuba.
It is a massive, multi-theater geographic spread.
And it is not just the U.S. The reports detail that Russia just launched its deadliest aerial strike of 2026 on Ukraine. They utilized 659 Shahed drones and 44 missiles.
Incredible numbers.
Meanwhile, Ukraine struck the Tuapse Black Sea port. And critically, Russia is now signaling Article 51, which is self-defense, regarding drones that are allegedly entering their airspace from NATO countries like Finland and the Baltics.
Which introduces the direct risk of triggering NATO's Article 5 mutual defense clause.
Exactly. But there is a glaring contradiction here. We are constantly being told by officials there is managed stability or ceasefires, yet we are looking at massive troop surges, automatic draft registrations, and record-breaking aerial bombardments.
Right.
The analogy that comes to mind is a submarine diving way too deep. We might not be seeing a total breach of the hull everywhere on the surface, but you can hear the rivets popping and the metal groaning under the deep sea pressure.
That is a very accurate way to visualize it. The sources refer to this specific dynamic as pre-escalation positioning.
Pre-escalation.
Yeah, the key takeaway from the intelligence briefs is that the signals to watch aren't the political announcements or the press conferences about peace talks. The true signals are behavioral shifts.
Watch what they do, not what they say.
Always. It is the physical movement of troops, the quiet rotation of capital, the tightening of supply lines.
Wow.
When 50,000 troops surge into a region during a ceasefire, the system isn't preparing for prolonged peace. It is preparing for the submarine hull to breach.
Right.
They're positioning themselves so that if the pressure localizes and the system shifts from a controlled state to a highly reactive one, they already have the geographic advantage.
Okay, I need to pause here, because if the global systems are bracing for a massive physical collision on the surface, the sources suggest we need to look at what is happening back home. And this is where the reports take a massive leap. We are moving from standard geopolitics and military movements into something that honestly sounds like a sci-fi thriller.
It really does.
The sources outline a domestic structural reset that is wildly different from everything we just discussed.
It is a severe pivot. This is the fourth thread in the reports. It's an operation dubbed Hypersonic Clarity and the rollout of new hidden systems.
Right. And I want to make sure we explain exactly what the sources are claiming here, because it is intense. Hypersonic Clarity is described as an active operation involving the intentional release of massive volumes of highly classified documents.
Volumes we haven't seen before.
Yeah, we are talking about the release of 3 million pages of Eckstein files, which reportedly crashed the servers hosting them.
The sheer volume of data being dumped into the public sphere is totally unprecedented.
And the claims attached to these documents are explosive. The reports state that the vice president actually confirmed that notorious codes found in these files, terms like pizza and grape soda, were real, actionable intelligence. Major political figures are allegedly resigning in the wake of this, and powerful individuals like Bill Gates have reportedly been summoned under oath.
It represents a total fracturing of what the sources called the blackmail networks that previously held political monopolies together.
But it goes even further than political scandal. The deep dive covers a report that the Pentagon defied Congress by intentionally holding back 46 UAP or UFO takes.
Right, the UAP stuff.
And the sources are very explicit here. They claim this has nothing to do with aliens.
No, the reports frame the UAP cover-up entirely around suppressed human technology.
Right. They claim the tapes are hiding highly guarded zero-point-free energy systems and quantum healing technology.
Wow.
The sources state there is a declassification order under the National Security Act that is unlocking 6,000 hidden patents.
6,000?
Yeah. These allegedly include cures for major diseases, with something called a MedBed rollout slated to begin on April 30th, starting with military veterans.
And we have to look at the financial parallel to this technology release.
Yes. Tying all this together, the reports note that gold has surged to $4,850 an ounce as something called the Quantum Financial System, or QFS, readies to activate across 209 nations.
Exactly.
Okay, help me connect these dots. If we view these intelligence drops not as random, chaotic scandals, but as a coordinated liberation operation, just as the sources describe it, how does the massive surge in gold prices tie directly to the release of suppressed UFO tech and Epstein files? How does that mechanism work?
It all connects through the concept of dismantling monopolies.
Okay.
The sources present this entire sequence, from the Epstein files to the hidden patents, as a controlled demolition of the old world order.
Wow.
Think about what maintained the old system. Geopolitical monopolies controlling oil, pharmaceutical cartels allegedly hiding cures to maintain recurring revenue,
yep,
and a fiat debt financial system that relied on endless leverage.
So it's about removing the leverage.
Exactly. The surge in gold is the financial market realizing that the old trust-based fiat system is being intentionally dismantled.
Yep.
Fiat currency only works if you trust the institutions issuing it. As the blackmail networks are exposed and the suppressed energy and medical patents are released, the institutional trust collapses.
That makes sense.
The old power structures lose their leverage. According to the reports, the gold surge and the activation of the quantum financial system represent the transition mechanism.
How does the QFS differ from what we have now?
According to the sources, it is the pivot from a debt-based model to an asset-backed model.
Asset-backed, okay.
Right. The QFS is described as a transparent, mathematically verifiable system backed by tangible assets like gold, rather than a system backed by the promises of central banks.
Wow.
It is humanity moving away from hidden leverage and artificial scarcity toward a paradigm that is technologically advanced and transparent. That is the birth canal they are talking about.
A literal shift in the ages. Which brings us perfectly to our fifth and final underlying pattern from the reports.
The Earth changes.
Earth changes. Because it's not just human systems, military lines, and financial ledgers that are shifting. The physical Earth itself is seemingly reflecting this exact same ekpyrosis phase.
The biophysical reality is mirroring the geopolitical reality.
And the data the reports cite on this is wild. The Pacific Ocean floor is reportedly experiencing the hottest temperatures recorded in 100 years.
A century.
The sources note that there are over 43,000 underwater volcanoes, and they specifically point out the axial seamount off the coast of Oregon. It is allegedly inflating like a balloon, signaling an imminent eruption.
And all that thermal energy doesn't just stay trapped at the bottom of the ocean.
No, it dictates our weather. This deep-sea heating is driving massive surface-level anomalies. The reports detail the development of what they're calling a super El Niño and the generation of highly destructive anomalous storms like Super Typhoon Sinlaku, which just battered the Marianas. We always look to the sky to understand our weather, but the sources suggest we should actually be looking down at the ocean floor. So, how does this literal tectonic heat mirror the geopolitical heat we were just discussing? Is it framed as just a thematic coincidence?
According to the framework of these reports, it is absolutely not a coincidence.
Really?
It is the exact same mechanism of pressure release. Just as the geopolitical and social systems are suddenly releasing decades of long-buried pressure, whether that's the declassification of 6,000 patents, the exposure of shadow financial networks, or the collapse of political blackmail operations, the Earth itself is releasing immense pressure from below.
So the containment is failing everywhere.
Everywhere. Both the human systems and the planetary systems have reached a physical threshold where containment is no longer mathematically or physically possible. The old structures, whether they are artificial geopolitical borders relying on choke points or tectonic plates under the Pacific Ocean, are cracking. And both of these phenomena require extreme adaptability from humanity if we're going to navigate the transition successfully.
Wow. Okay, let's take a breath and recap exactly what we've unpacked today from this Awakening the Sleeping Giant report.
It's a lot.
It is. Yeah. We trace the physical tightening of global energy choke points, particularly how a single U.S. trap at the Strait of Hormuz exposes shadow networks while stranding 3,000 ships.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at how that exact energy squeeze is causing a biophysical cascade of agricultural shifts, proving you can't just print fertilizer factory when the raw energy stops flowing.
Right.
We examined the massive expansion of military postures and pre-escalation troop surges happening underneath the guise of diplomatic ceasefires.
Yes.
We dove into the rapid domestic structural reset under hypersonic clarity, where the sources claim hidden tech, medical patents, and asset-backed financial systems are replacing debt and blackmail monopolies.
Massive changes.
And finally, we saw how deep earth anomalies and deep sea volcanic heating are physically mirroring this global pressure release.
It is a profound amount of systemic change happening simultaneously.
Yeah.
And looking at all of these interconnected threads leaves us with a very important actionable question. The sources emphasize repeatedly that moving forward, self-reliance isn't just a hobby, it's a mandate.
A mandate, wow.
If the global just-in-time systems, you know, the energy grids, the long-chain food supply lines, the fiat financial networks, are intentionally being dismantled to make way for something new.
Right.
What is one centralized system you rely on today that you could start replacing with local or personal sovereignty tomorrow?
That is an incredible thought to mull over. Like, can you secure a backup energy source so you aren't completely reliant on the grid? Can you grow even a small portion of your own food to insulate yourself from the fertilizer squeeze? It is about finding your own sovereignty inside the shift. Well, that brings us to the end of today's review. We want to directly thank you, our subscribers, for joining us on this journey through such a dense, challenging, and fascinating stack of reports.
Thank you all.
As we navigate this ekpyrosis phase, this very real birth canal of a new era, we close this deep dive with three words the sources remind us to hold on to. Gratitude, discernment, and patience. Stay curious, stay adaptable, and we will see you next time.